Good morning. Come on, we can give God a better hand clap than that. He is amazing and matchless. He is almighty. You may have your seats. If you'll take out your pen and paper as we begin our study, we are still in the idea of the New Year stream, the new stream that God has have us walking in. And many of you, God is very important that the stream or how God uses water is very imperative and very important in how he will move in your life and how he will move in your situation. And today we want to talk about the New Year's stream, and we're going to come from a different perspective. We talked about Joshua, and last week we talked about how Joshua commanded the people to follow the priest, follow their pattern, follow where they're going, for they held up the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says that when they got to the Jordan River, when the soles of their feet touched the waters rolled back, and they walked across on dry ground. What does that mean for you and I? Sometimes your miracle cannot happen until you believe God's word and you touch the water. You put it into practice, because they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and they knew if I stepped in this high water, for it was flooding this time of year, carrying this Ark of Covenant, carrying what was inside of the Ark, that if my foot slipped, I would drown under the weight of the ark. Now, it's very important to understand when we talk about the Ark of the Covenant, what was in the Ark of the Covenant. The first thing that we know is that Moses, in the Ark of the Covenant, placed what we know as the Ten Commandments. Everyone say Ten Commandments. They were the ones etched out that were the Ten Commandments that God wanted us to put in our hearts. They were four commandments concerning God and six commandments concerning mankind. That we were to love God first and then love our neighbor as we love God. Those commandments were hidden inside the Ark of the Covenant and carried on the back of the priests. Now, how many priests do we have in the house today? Let's try that again. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, he made you kings and high priests. How many priests do we have in the house today? Amen. So there is something that each of you are bearing. You carry the Ark of the Covenant upon you. And in there is the first great two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your soul. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So just to test it, turn to your neighbor and poke him and say, I love you. Poke him on the other side and say, I love you. Then why don't you raise your hand in there and say, yay, God. Yeah. Love you, God. So you fulfill the two great commandments, just like in the Old Testament, they had them in the ark. But then there was something else that represented the New Testament in that ark. Can you tell me what that was? Aaron's rod. And the unique thing about Aaron's rod, it was the rod he used to walk that he cut off of a tree. And it had no access to life-giving water. None. It was a dried out piece of wood that could not grow by itself, cut off from its own people, cut off from the ground. And Aaron used it to lean upon. And God, in his infinite power, blessed that rod and caused it to bud. When a rod buds, that means there's life in the rod. Hello, somebody. That means no matter what your circumstances is, no matter what you're cut off from, no matter how dry it seems, the life ain't coming from the outside. The life is coming from the inside. Somebody ought to shout amen. That was in the Ark of the Covenant, and that is what's in you. That when you are walking out your everyday, it may seem dry all around you. You may feel like nobody knows you, but how many know that God can take something that is dead and make it alive again? Never say no. Say it with me. Never say no. Never give up. Oh, you act like you didn't hear me. I said, never give up. Look at somebody and say, I said, don't give up. When you've got the God of life on the inside of you, why are you giving up now? God can make miracles out of sticks and stones. Hello, somebody. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. People can talk about you all they want, but what is the phrase we say? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, even the sticks and the stones are on your side in the Ark of the Covenant. And then there was one final thing. Now this is very important, because when you think about sticks and stones, you think about the ark that budded. What does it represent? The first part is the covenant, which is the word of God. That represents Jesus Christ, him being the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And we beheld his glory, down in verse 14, John 1 and 14. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The covenants represented Jesus. The rod that budded when it was cut off from life represents Jesus. Why? Because when he was crucified on the third day, they put him in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again unto eternal life. He is the bud that bud. He is the rod that was once dead that is now alive. It's Jesus. And what was the last thing we find in the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, was the manna. Manna. God said, I'm going to give you manna, or bread from heaven, that no one has ever seen before. It's called angel's food. And I'm going to cause it to drop 6 days. 6 days shall thou gather it up, but on the seventh day you shall not. And so for 6 days, they gathered this manna up that came out of heaven, and they put it in an ephod, and they put it there, and they began to eat of it, and it sustained them like real food, and it sustained them in the wilderness. It sustained them in the journey. It sustained them when they were going through tough times. And it only stopped. Watch this now. It only stopped when the priests crossed the Jordan River. When it was time to enter into the promised land, then the provision stopped in the manna. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the manna, which represented the bread of life, which represents Jesus. Everything in the Ark represented Jesus. But the point that you have to understand is that if you don't do something with what you have, then you won't get to where God wants you to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to open up your Bibles with me, and we want to take a look at the scriptures of the Old Testament. And we're going to go from Joshua chapter 4, starting at verse 15. It's funny how God changes the way we think. Many of you don't even think the way you used to, because you've been sitting under God and his counsel and his precepts and his understanding. Your mindset has changed. And there are some of us that haven't changed that much, because we haven't sat under the illuminating light of God's word to change the way we think. But I want to show you something in the scriptures. I want you to go to Joshua, and we're going to read starting at verse 15. Very good. Very good on the screen as well. Thank you, tech team. Let's give our tech team a great hand clap for all that they do. Amen. Verse 15, let's all read together. The Lord, next verse. Stop right there. He said, ask the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. No, it said ask, right? Hold on. No, y'all keep reading the you version. No, what does it say on the screen? That's right. There are some things that if you have a call on your life, you can't keep running from God, you can't keep ducking from God, and you can't be a person that has your feelings hurt easily. Hello, somebody. You got to be able to take a command from God, because I'm going to tell you something. If you say that you're a servant, the greatest among you will be the servant of all, then that must mean you can take instructions. You don't put it on your, you don't have a chip on your shoulder. If they command you to move, you don't question when to move, you move. And there are times even on our jobs, we get with our bosses and our leaders and they tell you to do something and we want to talk back. It ain't the time to talk back. Wait till you own the business. He commanded the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up, what? Out of the riverbed. Verse 17. Wait. Is that right? No. Go back. Go to verse 10. Go to verse, is it 10? Yeah. Yes. No. Verse 5. 4 and 5. Okay. I think this is right. Y'all need to read your Bible more is what you need to do. Go back to chapter 3. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 6. There's so much good word. I just want to eat it all. All right, here we go. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, "Lift up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Very important that, many of you, and I'll say it like this, there ain't no hurt like church hurt. Can I say that again? There ain't no hurt like church hurt. When someone that you love, you stand by, you follow, and then they turn on you, or a fellow member starts talking about you, and then you begin to feel like, man, it's God. You know, this I can serve God by myself at home. Someone said the devil is a liar. No, listen, when you're hurt, that's when you press in. When you're bothered by somebody that you thought was your friend, you press in, because God says there is power in numbers. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. The devil walketh around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody he can devour. He's looking for the scragglers on the end who are mad and upset and confused. He goes after them because they're alone. I'm telling you, when you get upset as someone hurts you, you prove to them you've got more inside of you by coming back to church, worshiping even harder, getting on your knees, thanking God even more. Don't let the enemy drive you away. Don't let the devil tell you you're not wanted. You are wanted. In this house, we have a no gossip policy. And every now and then we catch somebody gossiping and we handle it. But there's damage in the meantime. I want you to know that that doesn't come from the top. So come on back home. Don't worry about the people around you. Come on back home. See, we have to learn from this that the priests themselves, they went out ahead of the people. There's a standard. If you're going to be different, if you feel you have a call upon your life, you have to stand out from the people. You've got to bear that ark with the three incredible items in it on your shoulders. You've got to be different. You've got to give more. You've got to move early. You've got to get up early when everybody else is asleep, and you've got to pray. You've got to get in your prayer closet. You've got to pray for people. You've got to be the one who picks up the word of God, that eats the bread of life, that understands the commandments, because you're the high priest. And if you feel you've got a call on your life, don't just say it. You've got to walk it. There's a burden on you. There's an ark on your shoulders that people can see. That means when it's time to move, they know who to look at because you're carrying the burden of the ark of the covenant. Hello, somebody. That means you got to be at the Bible studies. You've got to learn at the classes we have available. We got classes on every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, that will blow your mind. How many been to our Bible encounters? You know, in the last two Bible encounters, you may not like this. Last three, we got out at what, 10:30? And let me tell you why we got out at 10:30. We don't go to 10:30. We go from 7 to 8:30. Okay? But because of the amount of questions and answers people are getting, they stay till 10:30. Blows my mind. They're staying in this room eating God's word. Why? Because they're burying the ark upon their shoulders. They're showing people, I'm not the same. I don't want to be the same. I've got to know something I didn't know before so I can hold on just a little bit longer. Somebody say amen. So Joshua speaks to them and he says in the next verse, go out and went out ahead of the people. Verse 7. And the Lord, somebody say, and the Lord. It was not a democracy. Did you hear what I just said? See, in our church world, we all grow up and we all come from some place. And some of us have come from backgrounds where the people decide where they're going to go, not the leader. And if that were the case in the children of Israel, where would they be today? No, they wouldn't have been in the wilderness. They probably would have died in the wilderness. They would have went right back to Egypt. Try it back under the bondage because they thought, man, I don't even know what freedom looks like, so I'll go back to what I'm used to. But in reality, God is trying to take you somewhere. So God didn't ask the people because they never saw. Sometimes you can't see what God sees. There's miracles that you don't know. So you're judging what you can do based on what you've done instead of God who tells you what you can do. We learned in Bible Encounter that, you know what? We've been taught. How many believe that Moses stuttered? Moses was a stutterer. Raise your hand nice and high. Your deodorant is working fine. Go ahead and raise it all the way up. There we go. How many believe Moses didn't stutter? How many don't know? Okay, come to Bible Encounter. Amen, amen. That's all I wanted to say. All I wanted to say. You'll learn the answer. Sorry about that. But in reality, Moses never stuttered. Never. Moses didn't stutter. That's what we've been taught. And we've been taught a lot of things about how church should go, but we don't listen to the words of the Lord. And by listening to what he tells us to do, we always can make the right decisions. So Moses had died and Joshua took over his leadership. And Joshua says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great, next verse, leader in the eyes of the Israelites, the people he was following. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. The one way that people were going to understand that God was with Joshua was if something miraculous could take place. You know, when we used to be at our old church, I used to tell them, God said to me that he in 2016, he was going to give us a new place to stay. And many in our church didn't believe me. They were like, man, you know, okay, so did you buy some land? I said, no, can't find land. Did you buy a piece of property? No, we tried. Everywhere we went, they told us that we couldn't have it. So then what are you talking about? God's giving you land in 2016. I said, because he said so. Man, listen to me, church. I need you to hear me. When you don't need anything but just a word from God. You don't need a paragraph. You just need a word from God. I mean, if you pray for something and someone comes and says, you know, the Lord told me to tell you, you better take that thing, wrap it up in knife paper, put a bow on it, stick it in your pocket and hold on to it, because it's as real as that. All I need is a word. I didn't have no money. Listen, we tried to save money. We had money in a bank account, but it wasn't enough to buy us a property. It wasn't, but we tried to be faithful and we did what God told us to do, but we had no way of having property until the landlord came and said, I'm doubling the rent. And you got 30 days. If you don't give me 30 days notice, then this calls into effect. And we were just about day 35. We had 5 days to find a place to go. Do you know what it's like as a leader to say, man, I don't know where we're going to be next Sunday. I don't know how we're going to be in church next Sunday. And I'm like, my heart is beating, but I'm saying, but God, you told me. You said this year we would have, I got 5 days. So when you get to the end of yourself, how many of us sometimes get so frustrated? We get so bothered because it's getting looking tight. Anybody, you know, your suits ain't the same no more. They like this. And you just tight, everything tight. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to work. And everything's tight. Your money tight. Your mind is tight. Your friends are tight. Everything's tight. And you're like, but God, I need you. You gave me a word. You said, God, you'll do it. You said in 2016, and it's only March. So I know he had plenty of time. So he could, I'm like, but my landlord said 5 days. So I went home and I wrote a letter to the Lord. Me and my wife were watching a television program, and it was about church. It was about how churches take advantage of their members. And you know them programs, and they show how people with million-dollar cars and homes and everything like that. And some of them were taking advantage and others weren't. And I saw the ones that were taking advantage of people, and it broke my heart. And I said to the Lord, all we want to do is serve you, not hurt your people. And I said, you know what I realized, Lord? I'm so worried about buildings and land and all this other garbage that you said was your job. You said my job is to go after the people. So you know what? I quit your job. And I said to the Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. And I thank you in advance for our new building. I closed my Bible, woke up in the morning, got a word from a prophetess, said a word to me, gave me a scripture, said God's going to send to me a people that are not mine, but they're like kings and queens, and they shall become my children, and I shall lead them. Yes! Another word. I got nothing for it, but another word. And how many know when you have nothing, that's when you have to rejoice? Come on, somebody. When you ain't got, you can't see nothing, because faith with sight is not faith. The Bible says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Faith doesn't even work. And if you can see it, you got to be in a position where it's so bad you can't see nothing. That's when faith works. So I got a word and I'm all excited. I come into the office. I'm like, look, everybody, look at this verse they gave me. And we're all looking at it. Yay! Now I know anybody walking in the church at that time probably thought we were crazy. We're rejoicing over a word of an unseen gift. So I said, God said he heard me. So I'm going to move on. I had to go do some errands. Went out of the office. Came back into the office, and there was a letter on my desk. I opened the letter, and it says, Dear Pastor Steve, we at the congregation wish to acknowledge you and let you know that we have been watching And if it seemeth good to you and to the Holy Ghost, we would like to donate to you our entire 6 acres of property, absolutely debt-free. It's paid off. We have 4 buildings. We want to give it to you because 40 years ago, the Lord prophesied that there will be a man that will come into the city that will start a multicultural church, and we believe it's you. Come on, somebody. Come on. Look around and see if the Lord is true. And they gave me this property debt free. That meant I still had 3 days to respond to the landlord. I happily said, we reject the offer. We are moving in 30 days. See, God knows how to catch you when it looks like everything's going to fall down, but you've got to keep some things on your back. You got to keep the word on your back. You got to keep the fact that you are born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You got to keep the manna that keeps you alive, the word of God that keep you alive. You've got to carry that where you go, because you're about to move into a place that where the streams are going to try to stop you. But I'm here to tell you, the streams can't even stop you if God's given you a word. Oh, we're going to get better. Watch this. He says, I'm going to do something with you, Joshua, just as I did with Moses. This is how I knew. This is how, because right before this happened, we lost some members because they couldn't believe. Watch this. They couldn't believe that God was going to give us a building. They said, that didn't even sound right. One man came to me and said, I work for the city, and my city manager always has a plan, always knows where he's going, always has a piece of the property of mine, and he buys what he knows. And he says, but you don't even know where you're going. I said, I don't, but I have a word from the Lord. And so that day they left the church only 2 days later if they just would have hung on. Come on. Some people lose their blessing when they're, see, listen, right before you walk into your blessing, it's going to get harder. Listen to me. Right before it's time to walk into your promised land, you're going to have chaos from everywhere. You got to know God gave you a word, and you know that you know that you know that you know this is where God told you to go. It is the enemy's job to raise up a standard against you, but it's the Lord's to knock it down. So you have to get in your mind, if God told me to do it, I'm going to do it, not based on how I feel, but based on his word. Too many people drop at Jordan. Too many people are left on one side of the river. The children of Israel traveling with Moses, none of them that left Egypt came into the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. Not even Moses made it because of unbelief. It took Joshua taking their children in. God, I tell God all the time, don't take my children and leave me behind. I love my children, but I want to go in myself. Hello, somebody. And so God was going to do something with Joshua. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. Let's all read. Stop. I need 2 guys. Okay. 1, 2. Come on up here. Come on up here. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. You hold one side, and you hold the other side. Now, you've got to know, come right over here. These two men have been reading the word all their life. They're guys who are in the word. We know them. They're strong. But then comes a word from the leader that to do something they've never done before. We tell them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk to the riverside. And it says, take a few steps. Now watch this now. Take a few steps into the river and stop there. Now, I need you to understand, at that time, the waters were overflowing in the River Jordan. They were so fast, it was like whitewater rafting, okay? And he said, take these precious items and go down into the river a few steps. What would you think? What would you think as a priest who's in control of these precious? See, Joshua didn't do this. They did this. They kept the ark. They made sure it was all good. What would you think if the leader tells you, go down in the water with it? What would go through your mind? What would go through your mind? Sounds kind of odd. You think that just that? Okay. What would go through your mind? A little bit crazy. Okay. So a little bit odd, a little bit crazy I got here. Okay. But in there is the commandments, the rod, and the bread. But in order to take the people where they've got to go, you got to be a little bit crazy and a little bit odd. You can't keep looking at stuff. You got to be a little bit crazy. Now, people tell me I'm crazy. And they tell me I'm a little bit odd because I'm willing to try things for God because he said so. So he tells them, take what is your livelihood, thing you're supposed to. Now, listen to me now. To these guys, this was their livelihood. This is what they were. This is their identity. If they lose this, there's no point in being a priest. But God says, I have need of it. I need you to let go of everything that makes you you. I need you to let go of everything that makes you you. Because no flesh can glory in my sight. For a miracle to happen, you got to die to yourself. You got to say, but I'm not the expert anymore. I can't control my life anymore. I need help and I need God. And if he says go, I got to go. But I can't look at my nice robe with the rubies and my ephod with the ruby diamonds and my nice hat getting wet. I can't look at none of that. In fact, it goes beyond that. If I step down in this water, not only may I lose my job, but I may lose my life. And God said through Joshua, go. Now, watch this. Some of us won't move because we say, I'm waiting on a word from the Lord. I need y'all to hear when I say this. We won't move because we say, I'm waiting on a word from the Lord, but your leader has told you to move. And we won't move. We go, no, I need God to speak to me. He just did. God uses people. Hello, somebody. Can you say amen on that? God ascended into heaven, sat down on the right hand of glory. He says, no longer will I have to say anything to you, but my Holy Spirit will relay everything I say to you. He won't even speak of himself so that you would know. So it's coming through people. And in church, we go, no, I don't trust people. You better learn to trust people. The Bible says, believe in God, so shall you be established. Believed in his prophets, so shall you prosper. So I'm telling these high priests, I need you to go down and I need you to put few steps into the water. Go ahead with your nice long dress that soaks up water nice and quickly. Go right down them steps, down into the water. I need a three steps and take that hard rock ephod that's going to weigh you down if the water tips you over. Everything I get now, watch this. The Bible says he told them, to get in the water and stop there. Their life was in danger. Look at the next verse. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord God says. This is the people. 10. Today, you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites ahead of you. I'm going to do it ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belong where? Walk this way. Walk this way. See, we own, at some point, sometimes we own what belongs to God. He says, the Ark of the Covenant, which what? Belongs to the Lord of the whole earth. Even when we thought we were going to lose our church, we thought it was our church. It wasn't our church. It was his church. So when we couldn't find a church, I go back to the man who it belongs to. We need a church. And then next day, I get 6 acres. Come on, somebody. You got to know where to put responsibility. And he says this, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth and will lead you across the Jordan River. Next verse. Watch this. Everyone read this. One for me. I need to get 12 men, and then it goes on. Soon as their feet. What? Wait, what? Soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water. Did you hear what he just said? As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off. Now, what does that mean? That means in order to see the miracle, you got to step out. The miracle's waiting on you. He said, as soon as their feet touch the water, I'm going to cut off the water from Jordan and it's not going to flow. But in order for that to take place, those who know must take a step of faith. You want something different? You got to take a step of faith where you can't see it. You're just obeying what God's word said he would do. That's when faith comes into play. And he says, soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off. Verse 14. Watch this. Upstream. And in other words, what's causing the problem will be cut. Not the results of the problem. What's causing the problem, when you step out by faith, will be cut off. The lady with the 30 days got cut off. Watch this. And the river will stand up like a wall. That which is impossible becomes possible when you take a step of faith. It will activate, and even the earth responds to faith. Watch this. Verse 14. The people left their camp to cross Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Next verse. And it was harvest season, and Jordan was overflowing its banks. Water everywhere. 16. But as soon, everybody say as soon as. As soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark, next verse, touched. I'm teaching you a way of God. Do you understand? The water was the problem. See, faith requires you touch your problem with faith. Until you start using faith on the problem, it won't stop. You can't keep drowning by not using your faith, trying to make it across on your own. You can't do it. But if you take just the toe of your foot and touch your problem. Your problem has to stop. Look what it says. He touched the water at the river's edge, the stream. Look at the next verse. Watch this. We're almost done. And the water above that point where they made their stand. The water above that point where they made their, what is it in your life right now you need to make a stand on by faith? Is it for a loved one? Is it for a job? Is it for health? Is it for a miracle? Is it for a house? Is it for purpose, destiny, your ministry? What is it that you need to put your foot down so the enemy doesn't keep flowing over your dreams? What if you just this week decided, I'm going to believe God and put my foot down? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Man, I got the resurrected rod. Man, I got the word of God. Man, I got the manna of God in me. God ain't going to let his word go under. God ain't going to let his resurrection go under. God ain't going to let his ark and covenant go under. So why am I worried about a river when God says, this is my ark? I'm not going to let something natural touch my supernatural. So take your toe and touch it by faith. Someone needs to tap the ground right now and says, by faith, I'm walking on. By faith, I'm walking on. I'm not going to get stuck like I am. I'm moving on. And watch this. Watch this. The water above that point began backing up and a great distance at a town called Adam. Adam means man. That water had to back up where men are. You are more than men. You are more than conquerors, as Christ is in you. And look what it says, near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Not just damp, muddy. You know, you couldn't pick up fishing hooks and stuff, and you didn't see fish flopping around. The ground dried up because they were willing to walk across the river. Go. And the people followed. Come on now. As we close today, I want to say to you, you may have been hurt in your past. You may be hurting now. You may not trust people of God. You may have been wounded by church hurt. You may be struggling on your family side, emotional, relational. You might even be mad at God. Say, how come it didn't work for me? Listen to me. I'm here to encourage you that God brought this message for you, not to give up by what you see, but if you would just take a step toward your trouble and put your foot in it, it'll change everything. I learned a long time ago, my mom could cook some food, and what do we say when we eat the food and it's just that good? You must have put your foot in this one. It's an old phrase. And we say that because it tells us that she put everything she had into that. And I can promise you that you are not to be afraid. You were never born to be afraid. You were born to be full of faith. For the just shall live by their faith, not by the fear of what could happen, not by the fear of what isn't here yet. Every single day that I'm lacking something, I'm faced with fear or faith, and I make a choice. I'm going to turn my eyes to faith and let fear fall aside so that I am determined to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to be the epitome of Psalms 27, that the Lord will fight for me. Would you stand to your feet, please?